Dodge 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. The polls say President Biden is down to former President Trump. But in our exclusive interview with ABC News anchor George Stephanopoulos, Biden seems unfazed and confident of his ability.
But you're behind now in the popular vote.
I don't buy that.
Is it worth the risk?
I don't think anybody's more qualified to be president or win this race than me.
Mr. Biden acknowledged last week's debate wasn't his best moment. He blamed his performance on exhaustion. The growing list of Democratic mega donors who are calling for Biden to step aside for another candidate now includes Netflix founder Reed Hastings, saying Friday night, quote, Biden is unfortunately in denial about his mental state. Tropical storm Beryl now taking aim at the Texas coast this weekend. The dangerous storm has slowed from a hurricane, but still packing winds up to 70 miles per hour. Beryl's expected to make landfall as a hurricane once again Sunday night. This is ABC News. A pickup truck speeding through the streets of Lower Manhattan on the 4th of July, crashing into a family picnic area, killing three people. Two of them were related to Hanifa Hassan. She was there when the crash happened Thursday night.
The truck jumped over and caught my cousin under the truck and also hit my aunt pretty hard when she was sitting at the edge of the bench, and they both passed.
The driver, suspected of being under the influence, had written a book about addiction. Voters in the UK have given a mandate to the centre-left Labour Party in national elections. New Prime Minister Keir Starmer met with King Charles Friday to officially form a new government later outside of 10 Downing Street.
Now our country has voted decisively for change, for national renewal, and a return of politics to public service.
Starmer says he plans to curb the cost of living crisis that has plagued the UK for years. Dave Packer, ABC News.
What are you doing up? Shouldn't you be in bed? Of course you're not. You're too busy worrying about your business. Inventory, employees, labor shortages. How can you even begin to think about customers? That's where WBZH The Buzz and Civic Media come in. Radio advertising remains one of the most effective ways to reach an audience. And with the free Civic Media app, even the cell phone crowd listens all the time now. Did I mention Civic Media has gone digital too? We're not talking about your daily Facebook posts. Call WBZH The Buzz today at 715-762-3221 and ask us how we could get your ads on a gas pump, YouTube video, or the top of a Google search. Or maybe we cut out the middleman and you call me at 715-497-3602. Now that we've sorted that out, you can rest easy. Go to bed.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News, your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. The 988 Crisis Lifeline is now almost 2 years old. A new report says it's making a difference in Wisconsin, but could still be improved. Mike Moen reports.
While the report from the group Inseparable says progress is needed, it notes the change was a critical step toward providing better care. For Wisconsin's operation, the findings show the call answer rate is at 77%, below the desired level of 90%. Abigail Spangers oversees a separate peer-driven helpline in the La Crosse area, says when it comes to the broader service, she would like to see more training that's trauma-informed.
988 is a good overall resource for individuals. However, we find that people are frequently put in a position where they have to navigate those calls differently because if they come up with a trigger word, it could end up triggering a wellness check.
She says in some cases, the caller is simply looking for someone to talk to. In financing state-level systems, the report does credit Wisconsin for having an enhanced Medicaid match for mobile response. But it does call on the Badger State to join others in adopting a telecom fee to help ensure more stable funding. Report authors say the overall goal is to reduce the effects of deficient crisis response. Since 2015, almost one in five fatal police shootings involved a person experiencing a mental health emergency. Inseparable's Angela Kimball says too often there is a tragic outcome when people can't get the necessary help.
At a less severe level, we see a lot of people who end up in crowded emergency departments, and frankly, emergency departments are getting so filled up.
Meanwhile, the report found that nationally, more than 80% of calls to 988 are resolved over the phone. And for those who require mobile response teams, 70% are resolved in the field. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tome Olson.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, partly cloudy, some patchy fog in low-lying areas, lows around 50 degrees. For your Saturday, partly cloudy, a high near 78, slight chance of an afternoon storm. Partly cloudy with some scattered storms Saturday night and a low of 55. That's Civic Media weather. Currently 53 degrees.
Crude and Dom.
Tune in Monday for a very special Devil's Advocates radio show, the Joe Biden Hangover from Madison, and Dom joins us. Tune in Monday.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded.
Warning! You're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Kroot.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Thank God it's Friday. Thank God we're doing it live. We got Joe Biden in Madison, Wisconsin. And I got to tell you, folks, I just made it here moments ago. We're doing it, you know, we're doing it coming in hot, as Dom would say. So, very excited to bring you Joe Biden's speech in Madison today. And I can tell you, first take, he was hot. He was also coming in hot today. Joe Biden came to Madison with enthusiasm. The crowd was very fired up by the time Joe Biden made it to the stage. Wasn't just Crudy feeling the heat. That crowd of, I would say, hundreds. It was in a middle school gymnasium. And it was packed to the gills. It was getting a little warm and humid up in there. And so, anyways, Rich is here with me today, and Rich is going to help me get through this special edition because we want you to hear the president when he comes to our town. So we are going to save the president's speech for the 4 o'clock hour so the broader audience can hear it. But stay with me on this, Rich. We're going to play the Earl Ingram interview with Joe Biden, our buddy. Earl Ingram got famouser over the course of the last couple days. Wednesday, and Earl had told me, hey, I'm getting the president. And they threatened to put the president on Earl's show. No one ever threatened to put the president on the Devil's Advocates radio show. Not clear why. Less controllable. I'm not clear. But Earl got President Joe Biden, and I think he's sort of the unofficial first interview post-bad debate for Joe Biden. And Joe is doing a very important interview, some would say, with Stephanopoulos over on the ABC pre-record. But we're going to do Earl Ingram's interview with President Joe Biden. And we're going to be joined by one of the subjects, Earl, not the president, unfortunately. Although you could call us as well today, Joe, lightly screened at 844 967-2789. So, Rich, you line up the Earl, and I will line up the man himself. We'll get his impressions of the president and wonder if Earl heard the speech. Maybe you'll hear it on our little program. Play for the people, Rich.
President Biden, it is an honor and a privilege to have you appear on the Civic Media Radio Network and especially the Earl Ingram Show. I have a few questions that I'd like to ask you, sir.
Fire away, man.
Can you speak to some accomplishments that we may or may not be familiar with about your record, especially here in Wisconsin?
Well, there's a number of them. For example, back in March, I was in Milwaukee. I announced $36 million for the Sixth Street Project to reconnect communities, helping families and businesses come together. You know, we built highways back in those days, separating communities, breaking up businesses, breaking up economic opportunities. And we're rebuilding them to connect those communities. I'm proud to be running for re-election as a president who's made his promises, and I've kept them. For example, I promised we'd get through this toughest time in history, and because we were left after the pandemic, which my opponent has absolutely screwed up, causing the deaths of millions of, well, not millions, but over a million people died. And we resulted in sending $1,400 checks to people who were in trouble. We created 15.6 million jobs. Inflation was brought down, it's continuing to come down, and we're going to lower prices for groceries and gasoline and the rest for our average people, and particularly in the Black community and minority communities. And I promise we take on Big Pharma. The pharmaceutical companies are ripping us off and ripping everybody off. And so now, for example, anybody you know who has a diabetes, needs insulin, they only have to pay 30, it only costs $8 for these guys to make it. $35 is the maximum they can charge now. And we set a cap that's on the law now that caps at $2,000, all the prescriptions that anyone as a senior would need. And some of these drugs cost, or cancer drugs cost $10, $12, $14,000. And I want to do that for everybody in America, everybody. Now, that's capped. 1.3 million Wisconsin Medicare beneficiaries get that benefit. More Black families have health coverage through the ACA, the old Obamacare, than ever before, because so many, as you know, so many Black families have pre-existing conditions when they try to go get insurance. If they have a pre-existing condition, they can't get that insurance. This provides that for them. They're able to get insurance, and I just increased that by $800 per person to be able to afford it. And in addition to that, we're building Black wealth. The result, Black wealth, excessive pandemic is up 60%. There's a hell of a lot more to do, but it's up. Black home ownership is up. You know, you build a home on one side of a superhighway that's in a white community, and build the same home on the other side of the superhighway in a Black community. The Black community home is all immediately assessed at somewhere between 20 and 40% less in value than the home in the white community. It's wrong, simply wrong. We're changing that. Black-owned small businesses are starting up faster than any time in decades. There's over 220,000 new Black business applications in Wisconsin alone. We're investing hundreds of millions of dollars in small businesses in this state. You're giving people a chance to start a small business. I promised to relieve student debt. The result is $2.3 billion in student loan debt relief. Over 60,000 borrowers in Wisconsin, many of them Black borrowers. And by the way, HBCUs have, and their students are as bright as students anywhere else, but they don't have the endowments to set up the laboratories for the jobs of the future. So I've been able to provide, and I promised I'd do it, $16 billion just since I've been elected, invested in HBCUs. So they're going to be able to put out the best folks in the world because they have the capacity to do it. There's a lot more, but in addition to that, anyway, I'm probably talking too long, but I come out of the Black community in terms of being elected the first time back when I was 29 and the source of my support, and it is, look, anyway.
You've already, President Biden, you've already answered question, too, that I wanted to ask you. What's at stake for black voters this election? I think you've done a great job explaining, you know, what's at stake.
There's one other thing. Look, the fact is I promised that when I got elected, I would have an administration that looked like America, looked like America. I serve as the first black president in American history. I picked a black woman to be my vice president. I've appointed the first black woman to be a Supreme Court justice, who in fact is just as smart as hell, Ketanji Brown and Jackson. And in addition to that, we're more working in a position that we have provided for. I've appointed more black judges, more black women judges than every other president in American history combined, because it's important. Representation is important. They have to have a voice, and that gives them a voice, gives the black community a voice. And, you know, and there's a lot at stake here. I mean, I got a guy I'm running against who's embracing political violence, pledging to rule as a dictator on day one, attacking the right to vote. He's been attacking the right to vote since a long, long time. And he's going to make the wealthy and large corporations pay their, I'm going to make sure they pay their fair share. He's going to double down on tax breaks for them. And he wants to strengthen, I want to strengthen Medicare and Social Security. He wants to cut Social Security and Medicare. Imagine what that means for the elderly black community. I mean, it just is amazing. And look, he is just, I'm sorry to get so worked up, but he is just, he's done terrible things to the community, and he has about as much interest and concern for black and minority communities as the man in the moon does.
So as a person of color, I am excited about you getting worked up. Question three, I got a couple more questions, President Biden.
Sure.
A lot of people have been told or have the mindset that their vote doesn't matter. What can you say to them?
What I can say is the vote of the black community matters intensely. Look, it make up a significant portion of the American population. Who's going to represent you except folks like me? And we're not going to be able to represent you if you're not showing up. In fact, to vote, it matters. Your voice has to be heard. Lots of close elections the last couple of years, and every vote counts. Understand that for far too long, black community, black Americans often love their country a hell of a lot more than their countries love them, and haven't loved them back in equal measure. Because folks like you turn out to vote in 2020, we have made remarkable progress. The president is the most powerful office in the world, but we need someone with wisdom and character. We need someone who's going to make sure that the Supreme Court just issued a decision, by the way, that threatens American principle that we have no kings in America. There's no one above the law. That's what we gave Donald Trump the power to use a system that is just never contemplated by our founders because of the people he appointed to the court. It's just presidential immunity. He can say that I did this in my capacity as an executive, it may have been wrong, but I did it. But that's going to hold and this is the same guy who says that he wants to enact revenge. He wants to organize a coup. He said, I want to rule as a dictator. The stakes are really high. I know you know this. For democracy, for freedom, our economics, our economy are all on the line. And the other side is working overtime to chip away at your right to vote to begin with. And we're working harder and harder to protect that right to vote.
Folks, you're listening to a very special edition of the Devil's Advocates radio show. Joe Biden in Madison, we're going to play you his speech. But what you're hearing is the Earl Ingram exclusive with President Joe Biden, the first interview anyone did with the president after the debate. Stick around. More of Earl's interview with President Joe.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Hi, I'm Ryan Blaney, a third-generation race car driver, and I dedicate a lot of my time going fast. But when my grandpa was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, it was a very unexpected bump in the road for us. It's important to notice if older family members are acting differently or having trouble with routine tasks. Early detection of Alzheimer's can give your family time to explore support services and access available treatments. If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. Visit alz.org/timetotalk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
Most of my angst comes from the grocery store. I end up behind that person with the checkout line trifecta of coupons, lottery tickets, and writing a personal check. Another checkout person comes and says, I can take someone on aisle three. Who should be the first person they take? The next person in line, right? Where I am, it's a free-for-all. It's like roller derby. It didn't infuriate me, but I was kind of like, whatever.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You're listening to a very special Friday edition of the Devil's Advocates. Joe Biden in my hometown, Madison. We'll get to that soon. Here's the rest of Earl Ingram interviewing Joe Biden exclusively on Wednesday.
President Biden, let's talk about the debate. Can you address some of the concerns about your performance and Trump's ridiculous remark about black jobs?
Well, look, two things. One, I had a bad night. And the fact of the matter is that, I screwed up. I made a mistake. But I learned from my father, when you get knocked down, just get back up. Get back up, and we're gonna win this election. We're gonna just beat Donald Trump, and like we did in 2020, we're gonna beat him again. But we need all of you to get this done, all of you. Look, I came back I was in a situation where I was wired. I didn't have a good debate. That's 90 minutes on stage. Look at what I've done in 3.5 years. I've led the economy back from the brink of collapse. It's still improving. We got more to do. I lower prescription drug prices. I've worked with Republicans to expand veterans' health care. This is the same guy, by the way, when I was over in Normandy, I wanted to go to a World War One cemetery. And this is the same cemetery he stood with his former four-star general, Chief of Staff Kelly, when he was there. And he said, didn't want to go because there are losers and whiners. My son died because of a year in Iraq. And this guy's talking to these guys about being losers and whiners. He has no respect for anybody. I really mean it. And look, a couple Republicans jumped in and helped me expand health care. Now, for example, you remember, because you reported on it, that when the Agent Orange was being dropped on people's heads during the Vietnam War, that they said they could be compensated. But guess what? They couldn't prove that the specific problem they have is because of Agent Orange. I changed that in the bill that I got passed, that we wrote. And the same way with my son. I was in and out of Iraq many times. He was there for a year. He volunteered to go. He lived just about a quarter mile from what they call a burn pit. These are the size of football fields, 10 feet deep to dump everything from human waste to pollution in there, and they burn it, and all those fumes. The reason why he came back, went with a very healthy man, came back with stage 4 glioblastoma, more brain injuries in that war than any other war, and he died. I'll be damned if I let this president talk about veterans the way he talked. Now we have all those folks who are around those burn pits and all those folks in Agent Orange. They now, over a million of them, now are getting the benefits that their families deserve. We only have one sacred obligation. That's to prepare those we send into harm's way and care for them and their families when they come home. And now we're finally beginning to do that. But look, here's the deal. 90 minutes on stage, as I said, I've done this, what I've done in the last 3.5 years is, by the way, it's not quite. Well, by the way, you asked me about black jobs. You know what he's doing. It's shameful. He's talking about black jobs, meaning all the things that blacks can do are manual labor, menial labor. That's what he's doing. That's how he looks at it. Name me something he's done to help the black community, give people a shot like I've done in college and education and home buying and a whole range of things. This is the guy that questioned George Floyd's humanity, led to the birther movement against Barack Obama. This is a guy who said Barack Obama a black guy. He wasn't born in America, and he kept it going, lying like hell. Just like he lied like hell about what's going on anyway. But look, he's falsely accused of Central Park Five. Those guys who were arrested, he said they should all be convicted and they're innocent. He won't even acknowledge that. And by the way, I'm proud that I have the first black vice president in American history. And I'm proud to have appointed, I said, more black women in the Supreme Court, more black women in the federal courts, and circuit courts than any other president, all presidents combined. Look, we can't waste talent in America. There's so much talent in the black community. All people, my dad used to say, everybody just deserves a shot. It's an even shot. That's all it is, just an even shot. And we have to invest more in education. I'm flying like hell to make sure. Look, there's a lot of folks coming from broken homes in the black and white communities. But we learned a lot of through significant studies in my administration that if you have preschool at age 3, 4, and 5, no matter what the background is, you have a 56% better chance of going through 12 years of school and doing it well. And I think community college should be free. It would save America money. It would increase productivity in America. Just give people a chance, a chance. And I tell you what, the idea that you guys are reporting this on the 4th of July, just a little bit, I'm so short of the 250th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence, is really important. We cannot let this guy win. It'd just be a disaster for America. And by the way, it's not just me. I'll end with that. There are 15 Nobel laureates, 14, I think, 14 or 15 Nobel laureates in the economy. They said if he's reelected, he's going to cause a recession. And he's let out what he wants to do the second term. He said he's going to cause a recession, and we're going to have a significant rise in interest rates. They looked at mine and they said, what Biden's going to do if he's reelected, he's going to make sure interest rates come down, there's going to be a soft landing, we're going to be able to continue to grow the economy. The economy's never grown faster than under me, and we're going to make sure it does, but it includes everybody. We're unique in all the world. We're the only nation that's organized based on an idea, not ethnicity, not race, not religion, on an idea. And that is, we hold these truths to be self-evident, all men and women. Endowed by their creator. We've never fully lived up to it, but we've never, ever, ever, ever walked away from it. We got to get closer and closer to it. He wants to walk away from it completely. I'm sorry. I feel so strongly about this, particularly as it affects hardworking people in minority communities.
President Biden, it is and has been an honor and a privilege to have had this opportunity. I want to say to you, that you're talking to a man who's followed you for 45 years, watched your career, and predicted that President Obama was going to make you his vice president. So I'm speaking for all the civic media.
Thank you so much to our pal Earl Ingram. Very special coverage. Joe Biden in Madison. We're doing it live, baby. July 5th. We're back early from the holiday. Your calls are welcome here, 844-967-2789. But next, Earl Ingram, star of stage, stream, and radio. He's the guy that interviewed the president. He joins.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allball Show.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packard. The polls say President Biden is down to former President Trump. But in our exclusive interview with ABC News anchor George Stephanopoulos, Biden seems unfazed and confident of his ability.
But you're behind now in the popular vote.
I don't buy that.
Is it worth the risk?
I don't think anybody's more qualified to be president or win this race than me.
Mr. Biden acknowledged last week's debate wasn't his best moment. He blamed his performance on exhaustion. The growing list of Democratic mega donors who are calling for Biden to step aside for another candidate now includes Netflix founder Reed Hastings, saying Friday night, quote, Biden is unfortunately in denial about his mental state. Tropical Storm Beryl now taking aim at the Texas coast this weekend. The dangerous storm has slowed from a hurricane, but still packing winds up to 70 miles per hour. Beryl's expected to make landfall as a hurricane once again Sunday night. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
The Brewers lose to the Cubs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers losing before a sellout at American Family Field, nearly half of them Cubs fans, as Chicago pulled off a 5-3 victory Saturday. The Cubs jumped out to an early lead with a single, then a two-run homer by Chicago's Michael Busch on just the first two pitches of the game, Brewers starter Tobias Myers.
I think a lot of it's just baseball. They were aggressive today. They know what I've been doing the last couple weeks is attacking with the four-seam, so I think they did a pretty good job of coming out and putting some good swings on some fastballs.
The crew battled back to a 3-3 tie until reliever Yoel Piamps gave up a walk and a home run to Ian Happ in the eighth. Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
You're in the major leagues and you're pitching at that time in the game. Walks are not a possibility. I mean, it's just not part of it. If you look at our pitching staff, a lot of our success, and it's been great this year, of not giving up free bases. The home run is the home run.
That's Pat Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, partly cloudy, some patchy fog in low-lying areas, lows around 50 degrees. For your Saturday, partly cloudy, a high near 78, slight chance of an afternoon storm. Partly cloudy with some scattered storms Saturday night and a low of 55. That's Civic Media weather. Currently 53 degrees.
Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk.
Our guest, Jonathan Gurko. Deliberative dialogue and democracy isn't winning an argument.
Instead of how do we win and end the conversation, how do we keep it going? How do I listen in a way on the assumption that someone else has something that I can learn from that will improve my point of view so that we can grow? To me, that's the democratic project.
Busted Pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny. Weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Republican legislators continue to sit on $125 million that should be used right now to clean PFAS out of contaminated drinking water and groundwater across Wisconsin because they don't like the governor's line item vetoes, to which the proper legal response is, too bad. You don't have the votes. Stop being crybabies about it.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
There's danger out there. It lurks on highways and quiet neighborhood streets. It's more likely to kill you than a shark and more terrifying than the biggest snake. Distracted driving claims lives every day. Every notification, swipe, social post, video, or selfie while driving risks your life. So while you might think public speaking or the zombie apocalypse is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward. Don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up in the show, we'll talk to the Humane Handling Institute about different ways to raise and slaughter our animals. Interesting discussion. Hope you'll join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hey, what's happening? Brother, what's up? This is a big party, man.
The Devil's Advocates, the fix for political junkies everywhere.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, a Friday, July 5th edition. Joe Biden in my hometown, Madison, Wisconsin. But you heard the interview with my good friend Earl Ingram from Civic Media. Plays on the Beast of the East, 540 AM and other stations. Check your local listings. And Earl joins us right now live via phone. Earl, you are famouser today than you've ever been in your life, buddy. Hello, Earl. Earl. Oh, no, I think he's having a Biden moment. Check the handset. Just see if our pal Earl's standing by. He might have gotten momentarily distracted by family, who knows. But anyways, as I was saying, Joe Biden in my hometown today. I was just there, sort of over on the north side off Aberg Avenue. And so anyways, I saw President Joe Biden, but I was very, very proud of Earl Ingram. Earl, welcome to the show. Earl, oh no. You know, I wonder if they didn't program our phones today. That could be a problem. 844-967-2789. I'm going to check Don real quick. Don, can you hear me? Welcome, Don. So the phones aren't working, team. We'll check back in with Earl. But let me tell you, I was very, very proud of Earl because Earl got the interview of a lifetime. Maybe not the exclusive of a lifetime. Let's not hope it's, for Earl's sake, let's not hope it's the only time he ever gets the president of the United States. But I had to be a little envious of my pal Earl. Not only did he get the first interview with the president, Joe Biden, and the question, of course, you know, has this guy got the figure? Has this guy got it going on? And Earl, you just heard the interview here on the Devil's Advocates, courtesy to the Earl Ingram Show and Civic Media. But you heard, and you can draw your own conclusions. But I saw Earl on CNN over the weekend. I saw Earl in the Washington Post. I hear he was in the BBC. I saw him at The Hill, Politico, certainly in the Journal Sentinel and local listings. I saw that Dan Bice wrote up my pal Earl, and I hope he's listening. Bice from the Journal Sentinel, the Page Six guy. So I tease Bice sometimes on the air because he sees himself as a esteemed journalist, if you will. And I tease him because he writes many of the gossip articles. But he kind of gave Earl a hard time. He said, you know, Earl asked the president some softballs. And I'm like, well, you're writing up his softball interview, if that's your perception. And I thought that Joe Biden and my pal Earl had a real human moment. And I think that Joe, and we've seen this quote all across the nation, all across the world. Everybody's quoting Earl's interview with Joe Biden. So, anyways, I admire Earl and the interview he got. And I look forward to being able to speak with Earl, hopefully, at some point soon. 844-967-2789. President Joe Biden was just speaking in Madison. And it was something of a defiant crowd. Defiant in that they were fired up, ready to go. They were in a festive mood. And it was starting to get a little stuffy in the gym. Like a gymnasium, middle school gymnasium. You know, one of the guys in the crowd, I believe his name's Roe, R-O-E. One of the guys in the crowd told me that he had reffed basketball games in that gymnasium. He's like, this thing's barely big enough for a basketball game. But they had a little mini riser in the front for President Biden today. And they had, you know, the customary, they always have some people on the risers behind him. So anyways, Joe came out and he had a number of people that fired up the crowd for him, got him warmed up. There were some activists and there were some electeds. Mayor Satya from Madison, Wisconsin, she warmed up the crowd in part for President Joe Biden. And my congressman was there. I saw Mark Pocan. Always great seeing Mark. Now, that is a public stance. Pocan had to come out publicly today, just so you know the local dynamic, right? There are congresspeople coming out saying just the opposite of what Mark said. There are congresspeople, Democratic congresspeople, currently throwing this guy under the bus. And the question is, can Joe Biden overcome this? And he comes to Madison under a lot of scrutiny today. And he will do a speech tonight. Pardon me, let me restate. He will do an interview. And that's not something he does a lot of. And that's why it was so newsworthy when our pal Earl got the first post-debate interview. And now Stephanopoulos gets like the third. I get a slightly larger audience, but anyways. 844-967-2789. We'll try the phones again, and we'll see if we can pick up our pal Earl here in just a moment. But, again, to the rally today in Madison. And Joe Biden was just in Madison. They closed this thing down like 15 minutes before I had to be on the air with you fine people. So I was hustling. Came driving over. Yeah, let's see if we can get Earl this time. Earl, can you hear me? Nope, it's not working. So anyways, that's disappointing because Earl had such a big day. I wanted to bring you Earl. Maybe after 4 o'clock, the phones will be working. We'll see. Got the tech crew working on it right now behind the scenes. So I just got to tell you a little bit more about Madison. So Pocan, my congressman, good Democrat, progressive guy, right? I mean, Mark's been out there on the whole issue of Gaza and being supportive of the Palestinians. And obviously, this is a tough position. This puts him sometimes at the opposite side of his president, Joe Biden. And Mark, you know, in light of the fact it's been just a week yesterday since the debate, and it's July 5th, but the political faithful, they're paying very close attention to every step that Joe Biden makes right now. But also those around Joe Biden, they're looking for the tells. Well, what's the Democratic, the progressive congressman, the pro-Gaza congressman from Madison going to do? Well, Mark went out on the stage today and gave Joe Biden lots of love and support. And if there was anything he was holding back, didn't show to me. I've seen Mark speak in public. I thought this was a very energized effort. You know who was the most energized? Ben Wickler. He was fired up, ready to go. Now, I have invited Ben to join the Cavalcade of Stars here today. We'll have to see if we can work Ben in during the big show, because he's still probably got the president in town. It is my impression that Stephanopoulos might be doing that interview with Joe in Madison before Joe departs on Air Force One. So anyways, I got the hell out of there quickly. Ben was the most fired up. Most fired up I have ever seen Ben Wickler was today. And I mean, it was a big crowd relative to the, you know, middle school gymnasium space. But, you know, Ben gave a hell of a speech, hell of a warm-up. Mark Pocan came out and publicly stood with his president. And Tony Evers, the governor of the great state of Wisconsin, and I will readily admit, lot of affection in the room. They were chanting, Tony, 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 before he came out and gave his speech. And I teased the governor of Wisconsin because he's not always known as a dynamic speaker in his own regard. And he's not the youngest guy. So if you want to make Joe Biden look good, and also understand the metrics of this over the course of the last couple of days, every Democratic governor in the nation had met with Joe Biden or had been part of a press call, or a Democratic governor's call. And a lot of them had even gone to the White House to meet with this guy and judge for themselves. And what did Joe Biden told them? Going to go to bed a little bit earlier, take a few more naps, going to get more sleep. You know, although this seems like a poor answer coming out of the room, sort of fits with the caricature of Sleepy Joe, if you know what I'm saying. That's not a good look. But anyways, Tony Evers, and Tony was a little profane, as Tony occasionally is. And I was teasing Ruth Conniff from Wisconsin Examiner. She was standing in front of me, and I was, you know, trying to be a little chivalrous and hold a little position because it was a crammed room full of people and media, standing room only for the media at this event. I have a sore back for you people today, on my feet quite a bit. But Evers made Biden look good. And Evers was supportive. And, you know, there had been some question, and Evers' team had come on and said, you know, there should not be a question. Tony Evers is campaigning with the president on Friday. Of course he stands with Biden. But there's been a question of every Democratic governor in this nation. Do you stand with Joe? And every single one had been on a list, either, you know, part of a call, drawn to the White House. And Tony Evers was the only one not on that list. But today, Tony, that crowd was fired up and ready to go. They wanted to show enthusiasm for their team. They wanted to show it's not just the MAGA Trumpsters that have enthusiasm for their electeds. Certainly, this was an energized crowd. We're going to play that speech, Joe Biden's speech in Madison, in the 4 o'clock hour. So hang tight for that. I don't know if we're going to be able to work Earl in or not. They are working on this behind the scenes. So we will work on bringing Earl to the big party because, you know, it's a time he should be acknowledged for the hard work he's done for years and years and years. And now he's an overnight success. That's the way it goes, Earl. You work your whole life. You work your ass off. And at 70, you're an overnight success. So we'll get to Earl, hopefully. And a defiant Joe Biden in Madison. It was a fired up speech. And I think the crowd really fed off the enthusiasm of the president. And, you know, I'm not going to say that Joe didn't misspeak one iota. That would be a lie. Because, you know, Joe Biden, I mean, hell, during the course of the last 30 minutes talking to you nice people, I've misspoken a couple times. It happens. You don't have to be Joe Biden, don't have to whatever to misspeak occasionally. So I give him a little bit of grace on the misspeaking. I have to. I misspeak often. But I can tell you the enthusiasm, the vigor. Well, it started with Ben Wickler, and it certainly came through the Joe Biden speech today. And, you know, I did talk to my buddy Earl, or at least we spoke and traded some text. And I said, How did Joe do? And he said, decent. You know, he didn't say, well, he killed it. Won a grand salami like the Brewers keep hitting. He did decent. And I did hear the interview, and I think that Earl did more than decent, getting some information, having a human connection with the guy in the White House. 18 minutes, that's a pretty good interview with the sitting president when you're a local, no offense to Earl, but when you're a local radio host in Wisconsin. I mean, I've been doing this 13 years. They never even implied they were going to put him on this fine program. So we're going to check if the gremlins are gone. We'll see if we can advance forward with this fine program. We're hoping to play Joe Biden's speech in the 4 o'clock hour. And we'd like to make it available to you. So you can join us via the phones at 844-967-2789. In the meantime, let's see if the text lines are working. Got to be some trash talking Devils fan out there that can let me know if the text lines are working. I'll know momentarily. Oh yeah, Cam, you're the first trash texter today. More Devils advocates on the other side. We're doing it live, baby. July 5th. I think we threw gremlins in the works. I blame Joe Biden. He threw like a firecracker in my 4th of July plans, and now we're gonna share with you. He was vigorous. He was defiant. He was Joe Biden. He was your president. Come back. More Devil's Advocates.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. The Todd Alba Show.
Brady joining us live via phone.
I tell the guys before every game, and honestly try to do it before every practice, challenge is going to come. This team is not just going to show up and allow us to walk all over them and win. Really what matters is how are we going to respond to that? Man, if you can adapt and use it as a learning opportunity, it's going to set you up to go accomplish darn near anything you want to.
I think there are a lot of people that need to hear that message today.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Matt Nair on air.
Project 2025, it's going to drastically change democracy. We did have a text from Lynn. She says, well, Jane and Greg, you are scaring me. I'm not trying to scare you, Lynn. I'm trying to make sure everybody understands what this would do. And it's scary, especially when we're talking about firing more than 50,000 civil employees and replace them with people who will just do what Trump wants. So Jared Kushner apparently is qualified to do everything.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. The Devil's Advocates, making radio great again.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates, a very special July 5th edition. President Joe Biden in my hometown, Madison, Wisconsin, and a very special guest. We're going to give her another spin. It's Earl Ingram. Can you hear me, Earl?
Yes, sir.
Yeah,
yes,
there's sir. Earl. Nice. Earl, you got famous this week. Famouser.
Well, I thought fame came with money, so I don't think I'm famous.
Yeah, you and I both, fella. You and I both. Earl, I've never been prouder of you. Obviously, you know, years and years of hard work paid off because the president came calling on you, sir. And you got the first post-debate interview with President Joe Biden, my understanding, in the nation, Earl. And the world is listening to excerpts. We shared it with our audience earlier today. Earl, I've never been prouder, fellow man. I am so excited for you.
Well, you know, Crudy, man, as I said before, you picked me up off the scrap heap. And I thought my 15 minutes of fame in radio was over. And you gave me an opportunity. And I wouldn't be, where I am now had you not given me an opportunity and had some faith in me and confidence in me to put me back on the airways.
Well, Earl, only negative. Let me ask you. Sometimes hosts like yourself are commoditized and they're called black radio hosts. Earl, I know your audience is a hell of a lot more than just black radio. So I'm glad that they come to speak to you, but does it ever bother you as a black man, Earl, that it seems like they commoditize the black community?
Well, you know, Creed, that's a great question because once upon a time I was a black radio host. And I thought that was all I knew, but having an opportunity to connect with you, you gave me an opportunity to broaden my scope and allow me to become a radio host. And to me, that's the most important thing is that I'm accepted as a radio host. But as you stated, the Biden campaign did refer to me as a black radio host. And yeah, I don't think they understand. They don't understand the listening audience that we have.
Well, that's okay, Earl. We'll get them educated. What was your impression of the president? This was a very important interview, Earl, and you got it. And, of course, the question is, what about the vigor, the vitality of the candidate? He was less than vigorous on debate night, Earl.
Hey, Crudy, he's 82 years old, 81 years old. And, as I said to him, I remember him, if I followed him 45 years or more. And I remember the vigorous Joe Biden. I remember Joe Biden before he had the brain surgery. And Joe Biden was a hell raiser. And, he's certainly not that guy. And to expect him to be anywhere near that guy would be foolhardy. But he's not the guy that he was, to be quite frank with you, Crudy, 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Or even a year ago. And, again, you're talking about a guy who's followed him for a lot of years. And And so I just think it's difficult to put a man of that age in the most powerful seat in the world at his age. I think from my perspective, he should be in the latter years of his life enjoying his family, Crudy, not you know, having the weight of the entire world on his shoulders.
I know he could play the role of elder statesman, perhaps, and step away. Earl, you've been asked a lot in the last couple of days. Does the man give you any indication, did he, during that interview, that he was planning on stepping away?
Absolutely not. You know, Creedy, I thought his family would say to him, you know, Dad, Granddad, you've done all these things. You've sacrificed or given 40, 50 years of your life to this. Enjoy the remaining years of your life with your grandchildren and, you know, and reconnect with your family. But to put that kind of burden and pressure on him, Crudy, I think is not right. I think the Democratic Party is not right for expecting a man who clearly should be enjoying the last years of his life in this position is not right.
Well, I can tell you he was vigorous in Madison today, Earl, and we are going to play some of the Joe Biden speech in the 4 o'clock hour. I think it's important for people to hear him. Earl, it sounds to me like you're not convinced, and I think it will be just a matter of days. If Joe Biden's going to step away from the presidency, from this most powerful office in the world, he's going to have to do so in the next week or so, Earl. This cannot malinger for days and weeks and months. They can't keep asking the man. He can't keep addressing his bad debate performance at campaign stops months from now. You know what I mean? Either he puts it to bed or this campaign's got to get put to bed, Earl.
You know, Critty, you used the term he was vigorous. I'm trying to envision Joe Biden being vigorous. You saw him. I didn't.
He was like a mischievous grandfather. He'd tell a joke and then he'd grin as the audience would respond. He was like a happy jokester today in Madison.
Okay, I guess my definition of vigorous is a little bit different. But maybe for an 81 year old guy, that's pretty good. But I just, Crudy, I just do believe that for Democrats to say there's no one else that we have that can beat Donald Trump and that an 81-year-old man is it, this is it, this is all we have, says a lot about a Democratic Party. And I'm a supporter of Democrats, Crudy, but to say there is no one else other than Joe Biden, an 81-year-old man, doesn't that say something, Crudy?
That's it does,
not
buddy.
A good sign.
Earl, out of time, man. Only one man to listen to in the mornings. Earl Ingram, 8 to 10 a.m., WAUK, 540 a.m. We'll come back with Joe Biden's speech in the 4 o'clock hour.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 a.m., WBZH. Pat Kreitlow.
Monday on Up North News Radio, we'll discuss the latest Republican power grab and the reasons to vote in August against two constitutional referendums.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
Hear that? That's the sound of your life. Perfectly imperfect. Beating in rhythm to the world you've created. But every time you drive after drinking, the music gets drowned out. Your life sounds pretty great. Don't let a buzz ruin it. Buzz driving is drunk driving. Don't drive buzzed. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is the Buzz of the North.
WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. In an exclusive interview with ABC News anchor George Stephanopoulos, President Biden says he'll drop out of the presidential race if God tells him to.
If you can be convinced that you cannot defeat Donald Trump, will you stand down?
It depends if the Lord Almighty comes out and tells me that, I might do that.
Mr. Biden acknowledged his poor debate performance last week, even as he said he didn't remember whether he watched a replay, but insisted his record will win over voters. Downgraded to a tropical storm, Beryl's headed toward Texas after raking over the Yucatan Peninsula and is forecast to once again reach hurricane strength. A train derailment and fire in Carrington, North Dakota. Federal Railroad Administration personnel are on the scene. In Iran, reformist candidate Masoud Pezeshkian won Iran's runoff presidential election, besting a hardliner by promising to reach out to the West. This is ABC News. The extreme heat in the West, a big problem for crews battling numerous wildfires.
Again today, new wildfires here are causing firefighters to scramble. On the 4th of July, the firefight calmed down thanks to lighter wind, and then on Thursday night, new fires blew up, including one in Mariposa County near Yosemite. Flames moving quickly, evacuation warnings posted. Firefighters say extremely hot weather is making fighting the flames even tougher. CAL FIRE Captain Robert Foxworthy.
These hot temperatures that we're experiencing obviously compound things.
Alex Stone, ABC News, Los Angeles.
A historic landslide election changing the shape of British